We pray. And then thirdly, how should we pray? Having said that, the focus of this class will be on the why. I will say a little bit about the what and the how. In answer to the question, what do we need? What do we need? What is it that we're actually going to get from prayer? In one word, we need grace. Divine grace. Divine grace. What do we have when we come into this world? For our purpose, we have our nature. Natura in Latin, nature in English, means that with which we are nati for the men and nate for the women. So, nature is that with which we are born, with which we come into the world. However, nature alone will not get us to heaven. And the formula that I've worked out, that it is N plus G leads to H. Nature plus grace leads us to heaven. Nature alone will get nobody to heaven. And the word is nobody. We need more than we have when we come into this world in order to reach heaven. And as we saw in our last class, one thing we need is baptism. But that's only the beginning. In any case, we need grace. When then we speak about the necessity of prayer, it's not a speculation or poetry. It's reality. We are in need of grace. What then is grace? That which we need beyond what we have in order to reach our eternal destiny. Tell us more. Well, that too is a 2-semester course. But we'll deal as much as we can with the subject of grace as we have to, both with the sacraments and with prayer. Then, the third question, how should we pray? And just to touch on it, but we'll focus on the why. How should we pray? Many answers to that question. But the fundamental question that I want to answer is we should pray both as individuals and as members of society, as social beings. How should we pray? We should pray both as individuals and as social beings. Now, there are many other answers to the how, but the one that I think we should make clear at the beginning is we should pray, a better prayer, both as individuals and as social beings. Why? Because both individuals and society needs grace. That's why the fundamental society called the family needs to pray. And pray not only, the father goes off and he prays, the mother goes off and she prays, and the children, well, they pray. No, they need grace for that family. Does that make sense? See, once the logic is clear, then other things follow as a matter of course. In other words, in answer to the question, what do we need? He said grace. But then, on the level of the how, what kind of grace do we need? We need the grace for us as individuals, but also societies need grace. That's why, by the way, the Sunday obligation of going to Mass together as a body. It is not just I who must pray, but we, plural, pray and pray together. Why? Because in order to even maintain our togetherness, we need grace, even to stay together. So much for the first and the third, which is not the primary object of our class today. We now ask, why must we pray? And there are four basic answers. And we'll spend the rest of the class in commenting or explaining each of those four answers. So, why must we pray? We must pray because we are 1, 2, 3, 4. We must pray because we are creatures. By the way, I will not write everything, if you don't mind, because otherwise it is both time-consuming and also space-consuming, and I will need extra space. So, we must pray because we are creatures. Secondly, because we have a fallen human nature. Thirdly, we must pray because we are tempted by the world. And fourth, we must pray because we are tempted by the devil. When then we speak of need to pray, again in English the word need may not be so sharp or clear. This is an absolute necessity. Nobody gets to heaven without prayer, as they have not reached the age of reason. In other words, you erase the G and erase the H. No grace, no heaven. Well, how do I get grace? Oh, that's what both subjects of the two courses are all about. We get grace from the sacraments, and we get grace from prayer. In other words, besides receiving the sacraments, we must pray. And depending on our fervor and frequency of prayer, you will obtain grace accordingly. Now, just to know what we're talking about, because I can assure you, the meaning of words is crucial. So many people know a lot of words, big words, polysyllabic words, sesquipedalian words. They even know the meaning, listen to this, of anti-disestablishmentarianism, the longest word in my vocabulary. question. I may have asked it last time we met. Are all educated people intelligent? What do you think?
No.
Can I turn on the volume? No. And the most dangerous people in the world are the educated ignoramuses. Big words. Cover a shelf with books they've written. But stupidity. By the way, may I ask the next question? If not all educated people are intelligent, are all intelligent people educated? No. My mother and her mother were sisters. I know mother had went through just 6 grades of grammar school in Europe. She was a shepherdess. A very intelligent person. And one of the worst myths of America is you acquire intelligence by education. My eye, I think that's my left eye. Back to our subject. Know the meaning of words. Back then, to the subject of grace, which is so basic to understanding our faith. And surely the meaning of prayer. Now, there are two kinds of grace in general. In general, two kinds of grace. One is called sanctifying grace, and the other is called actual grace. What's the difference? Sanctifying grace gives us our supernatural life. Actual grace enables us to act in a supernatural way. In other words, sanctifying grace is that which we receive at baptism. Actual grace, and by the way, we always use actual grace in the plural. Actual grace says. Actual grace or actual graces. Plural. Actual graces are the transient, the passing, the transient illuminations of mind and inspiration of will that God gives us in order that we might live a supernatural life. So they are illuminations of mind and inspirations of will, enabling us to act in a supernatural way to reach heaven. And even those two words, illumination of mind, these are, you might say, canonized terms. Whenever the mind is involved, the church always uses the word illumination. And you see, they're borrowed from the Latin, illuminare, to enlighten. The Latin. From the Latin noun, lumen, which means light. So that actual graces, therefore, are enlightenments, illuminations, plural, of the mind. Provided by God, but notice, they are transient, passing, they come and go. Is that ever important? God gives a grace, may last only a moment. We better know we've got a grace. Or, gee, what a wonderful grace that is, what a wonderful illumination. My friend, that illumination is not. She might look at it and admire it. You're supposed to put it to use. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, now that you know, some people will tell me they've got problems. So what are you doing? I'm praying, Father, this is my, then they give you the figure, third or fourth novena. Some people practice several perpetual novenas. Fine. And they wonder what's wrong. They're doing so much praying. I said, well, you know what your problem is? What you need is not more prayer. What you need is, now that you've got the grace, use it. Say, somebody with $1 million stored up. Say, counting the money, recounting. Wow. We pray to get the grace. Why do we get the grace? To put it to use. I've told people, silly. The purpose of prayer is to get grace. Well, that grace then is to be put to use. What kind of grace? Or plural grace is? Two kinds, remember? Light for the mind and inspiration for the will. These, therefore, are the graces, plural, that we obtain through prayer. Now we may say, we could say, that sanctifying grace can also be obtained through prayer. True. However, more accurately, it is not the sanctifying grace that is obtained through prayer. It is, for example, a person who has never been baptized. Can that person reach heaven? Can an unbaptized person reach heaven? Yes. Even though the person who reached the age of reason? Yes. However, if the person is not baptized, that person better get the state of grace. And it might be, therefore, that the person by praying might obtain that love for God, which is a precondition for making and receiving sanctifying grace, the baptism of desire. And that is why, whether baptized or not, everybody must pray. And over the years in teaching the non-Christian religions, using my first class in comparative religion, I tell my students what religion is. Religion is that philosophy of life which requires prayer of those who profess it. That's what religion is. And everybody who has any religion prays. Now we go on to asking ourselves why. The first reason why we must pray is because we are creatures. And we might add, because we are only creatures. We don't, in English, just to illustrate what a poor language English is, or teaching the Catholic faith. We have the word grace as a noun. We don't even have an adjective to go with that noun. So we had to borrow from Latin. And we speak of supernatural. In other words, grace is a noun. What is the adjective? In other words, what is the adjective in our Catholic vocabulary, and let me repeat, in our Catholic vocabulary, because so much of English is just not Catholic. Nothing we can do about it. We're stuck, you might say. Now, those of us who speak another language, great. If you can only talk English, then you've got to find out, well, what does the word mean? So the adjective that goes along with the noun grace is not graceful. It's what? Supernatural. That's the adjective that goes along with a noun. See, why didn't somebody tell me? I'm telling you now. So when we ask, why must we pray? Because we are creatures. And we don't even have, well, yes, we have it. What's the adjective that goes along with creature? We are, please, created. We are created. Now, and what do we have as created beings or as creatures? What do we have? Our nature. And consequently, what do we need? We need grace, which means we need something which is
supernatural.
All that long discourse to explain one word in the dictionary. So the adjective is supernatural. Supernatural is the adjective. Why then must we pray? Because we need divine grace. Meaning what? We need more than we've got as created beings. Our nature is insufficient. And that, by the way, is the fundamental reason why we must pray. Because as mere creatures, I mean mere creatures, I repeat, as mere creatures, we just cannot reach heaven. Now this bears some explanation. We came into this world needless to say being asked, did you want to be conceived? It's just as well. It's just as well. We came into the world without being invited, being asked, having no choice. And here we are. However, if we came into this world with no cooperation on our part, if we began without any contribution from us, will we reach our destiny without our cooperation? In other words, no. We're talking about why pray. The first and fundamental reason we must pray is because though we came into the world without any contribution from us, by having come into the world, into this world, we will not reach the world to come without our cooperation. That's the main reason we've got a free will, to use it. Some people don't know that. Use it for what? Well, we need, why pray? Well, we have to pray. Why do we have to pray? Because we need the grace. We need the grace to reach our destiny. So, when we answer, why must we pray? Because we are creatures. And what we need is something that no creature can give us. We cannot give ourselves. No one else on earth can give us. No angel can give us. Only God. That which God must give us beyond what we have as creatures is divine grace. And therefore, the word supernatural means above the natural, beyond nature, beyond what we are and have as human beings. And for that, we must pray. We go on. If that's the first reason we must pray, because we need grace. To do what? To reach our destiny. The next answer to the why is we must pray because we have a fallen human nature. You mean we all have a fallen human nature? Yes. I like to use the word we have a fallen human nature. We're all leaning towers of Pisa. Some are leaning more than others. When then we say we all have a fallen human nature, what are we talking about? What we mean is that every one of us, having a human nature, has basic sinful urges. And some of you may remember, there's a memory scheme for remembering. Oh, pardon me. Would you mind? We all have a fallen or falling human nature. There are seven basic sinful tendencies that we've all got. And the more intelligent people are, the more clever they are in hiding those sinful tendencies. And some are very clever. Thank you. The memory scheme that I use is PLACES. Now, looking at the dictionary, I just couldn't find a word that would have all seven letters. So, G. Places G. P, of course, stands for pride. We are all naturally proud. As mothers tell me, I'd have to watch him. I've told this before, maybe I'm never sure when I'm repeating my stories. I may reach the age of reason before, when I was 3 years old on the kitchen floor. Did I tell you that last week? I didn't. Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, somebody didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. I'll repeat it. On the kitchen floor, being stopped by my mother, less than 5 foot tall, I was screaming. She said, "Johnny, I will stop whipping when you stop screaming." I thought to myself, "Now that makes sense. See if it works." I stopped screaming. Sure enough, the pain stopped. I know I have the age of reason. By the age of 3. I also know that I needed to be humiliated. Fortunately, always on the kitchen floor. We are conceived, remember, in original sin. And one of the effects of original sin, it's a big word. Some of you know it. Everybody. We They all have concupiscence. Meaning what? We all have, and my friends from infancy, mothers tell me, at first I couldn't believe it. I checked with other mothers, and they said yes. They can predict the kind of a child they're going to give birth to already in pregnancy. Father, tell me, there's nothing like the last one. Gosh. And sure enough. In other words, even when we are baptized and have removed, remember, the guilt by receiving sanctifying grace, even though we have the punishment, which is the deprivation of the beatific vision, sanctifying grace removes the guilt and also removes the penalty, deprivation of heaven. But hear it. Sanctifying grace does not remove our concupiscence. Big words. You don't have to have a big word to know you've got this. Whatever it is, I've got it. These are sinful tendencies. Built-in sinful tendencies. In other words, we have sinful drives. The first of which, to cover the list, is pride. You're all naturally proud. Some people. You may not look proud. Some of the humblest looking people can be the proudest you'll ever meet. You all naturally are inclined to pride. L, lust. You're all naturally lustful. That's why sex education is such a tragedy in our country. A stupidity. All big words, but the stupidity, remember? Not all educated people are intelligent. You just do not expose children, for example, to sex stimulation. It is bad enough once, say, we reach puberty. But to expose a child, what madness. Am I making sense? And my 22nd year in working for the Holy See. And among the, I get jobs. So I don't get paid. I have a vow of obedience to the Holy Father. I had months to do the job to analyze sex education in the United States, and my report to the Vatican was a very dreary report. My God, I tell the Lord, are these people's minds? Don't they know that we have a natural lustful nature? Which needs grace, self-control, to master. You don't stimulate the sex passion for the sake of, well, of the pleasure which that stimulation gives. A, anger. You're all naturally irascible people. We all have a temper. I tell people, God has given us a temper to use it, but never lose it. Always in control. There may be a slower moving elevator in the United States, I'm not sure. But I think the slowest moving elevator in the United States is in Manhattan, in New York, at the Jesuit residence on 83rd Street and Park Avenue. There were no stairs. I had to use the elevator from the second to the fourth floor. So I press the button and I start praying to control my temper. Finally, after a couple of memoraries, the elevator would come. Then I'd push another button and I couldn't do anything with the machine. except pray. And very slowly, the door would finally close about a memorare. I undertake 3 memorares from the second to the fourth floor. Either this is part of the course. Am I making sense? We need to pray. Some have to pray more. Some, listen to you. It seems to me I got to pray always. No, my friend. It's your question, your problem, not mine. That's A. C. Covetousness. A big word. We know what it means. We all want to get. We are naturally getters. We are not naturally givers. That's not a clever phrase. To get, and keep getting. And we accumulate, and we acquire, and we accumulate still more. You will think, had we reached a certain stage, we say, now that's enough. No. We want still more. My rector, when I was in Cleveland, in my last year before my final vows, Father Dorga, my name, he said the most memorable experience he had of a man on his deathbed was a multimillionaire dying in a hospital.